Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the invitation to be here this morning. It's good to be back with you on this Lord's Day to share fellowship and to open God's Word with you. I bring you greetings from the brothers and sisters at Shepshed Word of Life Church, way up north in the East Midlands, just about 10 minutes from Loughborough. So it's good to be with you this morning and to share fellowship with you. Do you have your Bible open, please, at that passage which Gerard read for us in Exodus chapter 12? It has been well said that there is a crimson thread which runs throughout the whole of Scripture. A crimson thread, and that, of course, is the blood. Blood runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And this morning we're coming to perhaps the most famous Old Testament passage related to that crimson thread. I would like us to take as our text this morning, if you will, that text in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, where the Lord says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we're going to get straight into the passage this morning and see three things about the blood. The first one is this. The first one is the need for the blood. The need for the blood. Judgment is coming. Look with me at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 12. "In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." The children of Israel are in captivity under the yoke of slavery in Egypt. The Lord's people have been enslaved for many, many years, and now the Lord is going to bring judgment upon those who have enslaved his people. The Lord is going to pass through Egypt on this dark night, and he is going to smite down the firstborn son of every household in the land of Egypt, every firstborn animal in the land of Egypt, and judgment is going to come even against the gods of the land of Egypt. God's name has been dishonored by his people being enslaved. His name has been dishonored as false gods have been set up in his rightful place. And so the Lord is going to bring judgment upon that people. Judgment has been pronounced. It's going to be a dark night in Egypt. There's going to be wailing and weeping across the land as death reigns across all of Egypt. Judgment is coming. God has spoken. You might think this morning that that sounds terribly harsh. You might think that that isn't really what I come to church to hear on a Sunday morning. But God has spoken. He has declared that judgment is on the way. Unless we think this morning that God has been quick to anger here and he's acting rather unreasonably, let's just think for a moment of what has gone before. For time after time, as his people have been enslaved, as his name has been dishonored, the Lord has been gracious and merciful towards Egypt. Time after time, the Lord has stretched out his hands toward them. Ever since Exodus chapter 7, the Lord has sent Moses and Aaron, his servants, to Pharaoh with that word, "Let my people go." Time after time, the Lord's servants stood before Pharaoh, pleading with him, imploring him, "Let God's people go." And time after time, we read that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and Pharaoh replied to Moses and Aaron, "I will not let them go." Rivers of blood, locusts, gnats, livestock dying, boils, hailstones, darkness over the land, all came, and yet Pharaoh still would not relent. All of these relatively minor judgments compared to what was to come still did not make Pharaoh turn his heart and bow before the Lord and say, I will turn to the Lord your God. Time after time, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Time after time, when God gave him opportunity after opportunity to release his people, Pharaoh said no. In spite of God's grace and his mercy, Pharaoh still turned his back on the Lord God of Israel. And so God has not been quick to anger here. God is not acting out of some flying off the handle wrath which is not deserved. God has been gracious and merciful. For long time after time he has stood and he has said, let my people go, Pharaoh. And because Pharaoh has hardened his heart, the ultimate judgment is going to pass over the land of Egypt. Because of his intransigence, because of his rejection, judgment is on the way, and Egypt are going to suffer. See, God will not hold off his judgment forever. God will not hold off his wrath forever. God will be just, and he will act justly. And so in instituting this first Passover, of which we read in Exodus chapter 12, he declares that judgment is on the way to Egypt. He declares that every firstborn son, every firstborn animal, all the gods of Egypt, they will be judged. You might say this morning, well, what's the relevance of this for us here this morning in Twickenham in 2025? Well, judgment too has been pronounced over all humanity. The whole human race stands before a holy God declared guilty before him. We have all rejected him. We have all turned away from him. Remember what Isaiah wrote in that great portion in Isaiah 53? That all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. All of us have acted just in the same way that Pharaoh did. All of us have rejected the God of Israel. All of us have turned our back on him. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, according to that famous verse in Romans 3 and 23. All of us are under God's judgment in our natural state. Every single member of the human race stands condemned before a holy God. And if you're in any doubt this morning about that, well, Paul writing to the Romans says in Romans 5 and 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. The wages of our sin, the wages of our natural condition, is death. That is where we all stand in our natural condition. Just as judgment was coming to Egypt, judgment too has come upon all humanity. Judgment too has come to the whole human race because all have sinned. As a father of three young children, I can tell you indeed that all have sinned. We had a visit recently from my older brother who doesn't have children of his own. And after spending 48 hours with our little two-year-old boy, he turned to me and he said, well, there's evidence of original sin if ever you needed it. I thought as a father that was somewhat harsh, but it was true. Right from the very earliest stages of life, we all sin. We all commit acts which are wrong. Right, our very intuition is to sin. The very innermost being of our hearts is wicked. We all turn against a holy God. And so God in his righteous judgment, and because of his righteousness, must judge sin. He must judge wickedness. And just as justice was going to come upon Egypt, so justice will come upon all humanity. All have offended the holy God. All have sinned. And so there is a need for redemption. There is a need for the blood, as we're about to see here. There is a great need for each and every one of us, not just for the Egyptians, thousands of years ago, there's a need for all of us. Here today in 2025, there is a great need. Because we have all sinned, because we have offended a holy God, we are all in need of redemption. We all need a Savior. We need something or someone to save us from the judgment of God. Notice secondly then, the act of redemption. For provision is made. We've seen the need for redemption, for judgment is coming. The act of redemption then, provision is made. In instituting this Passover, the Lord provides a means of escape from the judgment which is to come. Specific instructions are given to the Israelites, which we're not going to get into this morning, for we haven't got time. But I want us to notice two things particularly about the lamb which is to be brought as the Passover lamb. The lamb which is to be killed as part of the Passover feast. The first thing is this. It is to be a lamb without blemish. A lamb without blemish. Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. This lamb which is to be brought and slaughtered as part of this Passover meal is to be a pure lamb. It's to be one without any defilement, one which has no infirmity. It is to be pure, spotless, clean, a lamb without blemish. And the second thing is this, it is to die as a substitute. It dies as a substitute. See, the judgment which is coming is this, that the firstborn son of every household in the land of Egypt will die. Someone is going to die. And yet the instructions that the Lord gives are these. Take that lamb and kill it in the place of that firstborn son. Can you imagine being the firstborn son in the households of Egypt on that day whenever you heard the Lord's judgment pronounced? You imagine being that firstborn son and going to your father and saying, Father, am I really going to die tonight? This judgment which has been pronounced upon me is coming. What are we going to do about it, Father? How are we going to escape the judgment which is to come? The fate which awaits you is dreadful. The fate which awaits you is terrifying in that situation. But then imagine hearing your father say to you as the firstborn son, Son, the Lord has provided a means of escape. This little lamb which we brought in, this little lamb is going to die, and it's going to die, son, in your place. It's going to die so that you will live. That lamb is going to take your place. That lamb is going to die so that you can live. That lamb will shed its blood so that your blood will not be shed when the Lord passes through in judgment. That lamb without blemish is going to die as a substitute. It would spare the life of the firstborn in each household where it was slaughtered. What a glorious picture we have here of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Thousands of years before the Lord Jesus ever enters onto the scene, what a type of Christ we see here in this Lamb. For the Lord Jesus, too, was to be a lamb without blemish. We're often asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? Well, because only God himself, who was pure and sinless and holy, could take away the sins of an unholy people. For any normal human who died would be dying justly, for all have sinned. Only God himself, the perfect, spotless, pure lamb, could die to justly take away the penalty of sin. And he died as a lamb without blemish. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we're told that we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. the pure and holy Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the one who lived a perfect life, the only person who's ever taken on human flesh and never disobeyed their parents, the only person who has never been unjustly angry, the only person who has never hated anyone else in his heart, the only person who's never told a lie, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without sin. And of course, that perfect, spotless, pure Lamb of God without blemish died as a substitute. We've already sung about that this morning. On the cross, on the cross, all my sin on Jesus laid. Mine the debt, his the cost. You see this morning the substitution that has taken place. As Christ dies for the sins of his people on the cross, a great act of substitution there is taking place. For the judgment which is ours is laid upon him. Our sin is laid upon his shoulders. Isaiah, again in that great passage, lays it out so beautifully for us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. A provision has been made today for us. A provision has been made for us to escape the penalty of sin. A provision has been made that our lives may be spared, that we might not suffer the condemnation of God for our sin, because Christ has suffered the condemnation of God for our sin. Perhaps the most astounding verse in all the Bible, in my mind, is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. That God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See the great substitution, the great transaction which has taken place at the cross. The one who knew no sin is made sin. We who knew no righteousness are made righteous. A great transaction has taken place. A great provision has been made. Today there is a fountain that is filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. A provision has been made. The fountain is open today. Brothers and sisters who are in Christ this morning, do you see the cost of our salvation? Oh, if I was one of those firstborn sons in the land of Egypt who had heard the word of the Lord coming to an Israelite household on that night, and I had seen the cost that was going to be paid and the blood that was going to be shed so that I might live, I suspect I might have fallen on the floor and wept as I saw that little lamb being led out to take my place. That little lamb being taken out and hearing its squeals as it was killed so that I would be free. Well, that has happened on a much greater and grander scale today, friends. That has happened at the cross. At the cross today, we bow the knee and we see the cost of our salvation. We see the Son of God loving us and giving himself for us as he dies in our place. And in those hours of darkness, as he bears our sin in his own body on the tree. Truly, we can say with the modern hymn writer, what a love, what a cost. What a great substitution has taken place for us today. That Christ has died so that we might live. Christ has died so that we might be free. Christ has died and suffered judgment so that we will not die and suffer judgment. Just as that lamb on that first Passover night was going to be killed as an act of substitution for that firstborn son, so too Christ has been killed in a great act of substitution for us. What a wonderful Saviour is He. And this morning, if you know and you love Him, then meditate upon that great cost. Get back to the cross today and think afresh of what it cost Christ to bear away your sin. Get back to the cross today and simply gaze upon the Lamb of God bearing away your sin. And that will lift your heart and encourage your spirit more than anything else that I could encourage you to do today. Friends, let's get back to the cross and see Him there dying for us. A provision has been made. But then notice, thirdly and finally, that the provision is applied. The provision is applied. Because what is done with the blood is perhaps the most significant thing within this passage. The blood of the Lamb is shed, but then the Lord gives the people very specific instructions as to what they are to do with the blood. Look at verse 7 of Exodus chapter 12 with me. They're to slay the lamb, they're to take the blood, and then verse 7, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. And then scroll down with me to verse 13 again. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. See, we've seen that judgment is coming. And across the land of Egypt, that judgment was going to be universal. Every household across the land of Egypt was going to experience judgment. Apart from those who follow the Lord's one means of escape. The Lord gives a specific way in which people can be rescued, in which firstborn sons can live. One specific way to be free from judgment. It is this: to take the blood and apply it. To take the blood and spread it over the lintels and the doorposts of your household. And the Lord then says, when I pass over the land of Egypt and I see the blood applied, when the blood is applied to the lintels of your doorposts of your house, then I will pass over you. Judgment will not befall you if the blood has been applied. Every household with the blood spread over the doors of the household would be free from judgment. Where the blood was applied, judgment would not come. Where the sacrifice had been applied to the household, judgment would pass over. Again, what a wonderful picture of salvation we see here. What a wonderful picture is given to us as we see the Lord passing over those households where the blood has been applied. For we've already established this morning that judgment upon humanity is universal. Every single person of every single race, of every single social background, is under judgment. And yet provision has been made, and to whom that provision is applied, judgment will not come. Judgment will pass over those who have had the blood of Jesus applied to them. Where the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled over a heart, then the judgment will pass over. A favorite verse of so many of us, I'm sure, is Romans 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What is it to be in Christ Jesus? Well, it is to be trusting in Him and Him alone for your salvation from your sin. In other words, to be trusting in the sacrifice of His shedding of blood. To be trusting in His finished atoning work on the cross for you. To be trusting in Him to save you from your sins. And if you are doing that today, if you are trusting in Him and Him alone, and His finished work and His sacrifice as a substitute for you, then judgment will pass over you. Judgment will not come. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Perhaps you're here this morning and You're not quite sure if that's you. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've been coming to church for many, many years, Sunday after Sunday, and you've heard the same message time after time. And perhaps today you've still just been putting it off. You've been thinking, well, that all sounds very good, but I've got plenty of time and I've other things to be getting on with, and I will just keep on going and I'll get right with God at a later date. Well, can you imagine what was going on in Egypt on this day whenever the word of the Lord had come to the people? And you can imagine on that 10th day of the month as Moses makes his way through the camp and Aaron makes his way through the camp, and there's some people there of the house of Israel who haven't got the blood applied over the doorposts yet. And Moses says to them, what are you doing? Have you not got the blood over your door yet? And they say, well, no, we're sorting out a few different things around the house, first of all, Moses, and then we'll get to getting the blood over the door. Could you imagine Moses' response? Get there urgently. Get the blood over the door. Judgment is coming. The Lord is going to pass through this evening in judgment, and if the blood isn't over the doorposts, then your firstborn son is going to be struck down. Well, the same could be said of you here today if you haven't yet trusted Christ. What are you waiting for? Would you not come to him today? Be urgent about it. Judgment is coming. We're told in the New Testament that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That day of judgment will come when we do not expect it. We do not know when judgment will finally and ultimately come upon mankind. And so if you're here today and you're out of Christ and the blood hasn't been applied, oh, this is your greatest need today. Everything else pales into insignificance. Get right with God. Get under the blood today. In the words of that second hymn, lay aside the garments that are stained by sin. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb, because there is a fountain that is flowing for the soul which is unclean. Oh, won't you be washed today in the blood of the Lamb? Won't you enter in today to all that is yours in Christ if you would only receive him? Won't you come and experience the freedom from judgment, the joy of knowing sins forgiven in him, the joy of knowing that for you there is no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus, because your sins have been forgiven, because the blood has been applied. There was no other methodology for the children of Israel in Egypt. There was no other way for them to escape from the judgment which was to come. There wasn't another way to escape that judgment. One way God gave them, the shedding of blood as a substitute. And one way God has given to all mankind today who will enter in is this: a substitute, a lamb without blemish, Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. The blood had to be applied for judgment to be avoided. So let me ask you today very directly, has the blood been applied to your life? Are you under the blood? Are you free from sin today? Oh, if you are, then may your heart be thrilled with rejoicing that you are free from the judgment which is to come, that you need not fear tomorrow, for you're free from the condemnation of a holy God. Oh, but if you are not under the blood today, what a terrifying and trembling must be going on in your heart as you think of what it is to stand before a holy God, condemned, awaiting his judgment for your sin. The blood is the only way to escape the judgment which is to come. And in a few moments' time, we're going to sing a closing hymn which says that, just as I am without one plea. There's no other argument, no other plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Would you come today? Would you come this morning and enter into a whole new beginning? Enter into a whole new life, experiencing the joy of knowing Christ as your Savior. knowing that your sin is forgiven, knowing that judgment will not come upon you, but that the Lord will pass over you, because he has promised, and his word is true, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's pray in closing.